You're listening to Nick Luck Daily. This edition is brought to you by Timeform, the trusted source of racing data and analysis. By the Racehorse Owners Association. And by the Racing App, in partnership with FitzDares.
Good evening, Charlotte Greenway here on Friday the 26th of April. Thanks for listening to the Saturday edition of the Nick Luck Daily podcast, and I've got plenty of clues to bring you ahead of this weekend's Jumps finale at Sandown tomorrow, and also the FWD Champions Day in Hong Kong on Sunday. But first, after recording this morning's podcast, I caught up with Christopher Head following the news that owner Leopoldo Fernandez Pujal had removed all 22 horses from his care, including Star Miler Big Rock. And whilst he didn't really want to comment on that, he had some really interesting words on 1000 Guineas Hope Remachuel and another three-year-old to follow this season.
Well, there's not much to say. I think that everything has been said already, you know, regarding the fact that the owner wanted to change trainer and of course that he's more confident with another trainer. It's okay.
Okay, well, let's look forward to Remachuel then, because she's a really exciting filly that you've got in the yard for this season. She has got an entry in the 1000 Guineas at Newmarket, some really smart form at two last year. She's a Group 2 winner. She was only just beaten by Van Dijk in the Morney. She did return this month and was beaten into second by a horse of Charlie Appleby's. What did you make of that comeback?
Remachuel is a really nice filly. She's been all fast and swift during all the season. I never had a filly that is so precocious and so fast since the beginning of my long career. But now we've been looking forward to put her on the mile since the beginning of the season. It was the plan last year. That's why we haven't run her after the morning. And she's doing very well. She's beaten just not far from for the first race. Pretty much is nothing because we needed to have a race for her. She's always a bit fresh on the first race, pretty much like the pre-Piret last year. And of course, we are looking forward to get into the Guineas and to hope the best about it.
She's, of course, by sire of the moment, Justify, who stayed a mile and a quarter. But her dam, she was quite quick and showed her best form over six. So would you have any concerns over her stepping up to the mile?
Yeah, of course, she got the speed, but it's possibly that it's going to be the aptitude that you will need for the Guineas, I think.
And it was heavy ground that she was beaten on last time. So would she appreciate a faster surface, do you think?
I think she would be better on a faster ground or a good ground.
And is she the kind of filly that you could see yourself campaigning in England quite a lot over this season? Would Royal Ascot, all those kind of big dates?
It's, of course, a possibility, and there will be a plan for of course, the UK, because as soon as we have the opportunity to get a horse that is worth going there, we don't hesitate. And it will continue to be the idea of the stable on the long term.
Just finally, who else are you really looking forward to seeing out this season from your yard? And I guess who could make the trip across the channel with Remachuel later on in the season?
It's a possibility that Ramadan can be one of them. But of course, it's a bit too early in the season to say anything about it. He's pretty much going to be nice on the mile. And then we will try the Jockey Club, the French Derby. So, and afterwards, we will see with the owner for the rest of the programme of the season.
Well, at Sandown tomorrow, it looks highly likely that Willie Mullins will be crowned champion jumps trainer in Britain, a feat not achieved by an Irish trainer since Vincent O'Brien did it 70 years ago. Willie's currently got a healthy lead over Dan Skelton, but he's not leaving anything to chance and sends over a strong squad tomorrow, spearheaded by El Fabiolo. El Fabiolo, of course, went off favourite in the champion chase at Cheltenham, where his jumping just totally fell apart, and after making a bad mistake at the fifth, he was pulled up. He faces John Bond tomorrow in the celebration chase, and also Edward Stone, Editor de Gite, and the like, so it's no easy task in front of him. And when I spoke to Patrick Mullins this morning, I just asked him how El Fabiolo had come out of Cheltenham, and whether he could be confident that he can leave those mistakes in the past.
Look, he was a little bit sorry for himself after Cheltenham. Willie gave me time and we built him back up. He's fresh and well himself. David Casey gave him a pop over four fences on Wednesday and was very happy with him. So, look, but I think what happened in Cheltenham was just, it was just, it was on the cards. He was always taking a chance with some of his fences. And I would imagine he would have learned from that. And, you know, I don't see it as a concern going into tomorrow.
And you say he'd have learned from that. Do you think that's enough, or have you sort of had to sort of school him extensively in the meantime?
No, schooling extensively isn't really Willie's modus operandi. So yeah, look, he jumped there during the week. Gator Casey was on him. We were very happy with him. We left him at that. You know, he didn't fall. He stumbled the back of the fence, and I'd imagine he'd learned from that. He got away with a few mistakes earlier in his career, and now after that experience, I'm sure he'll be a bit more careful.
And you've run three in the Bet365 Gold Cup, Nick Rockett and Manella Cacuna, who ran in the Irish National last time. Nick Rockett was seventh, Manella Cacuna third. Also got Aim Deji, who finished fifth in the Topham last time. Do you think Paul's made the right decision going for Nick Rockett?
It's a tricky one, very much a tricky one. Look, Nick Rockett's got a little bit less weight. You know, I think they're quite closely matched on their form. You know, I think Manella Cacuna obviously ran better in the Irish National, but I think this drier ground will suit Nick Rockett better. And I think, you know, Nick Rockett wouldn't be a very big horse. I think these slightly softer, smaller fences should bring him forward. So it wasn't a straightforward decision for Paul, but on the balance of it, I think he's probably on the right one.
And you're at Sandown tomorrow to ride Sir Gerhard in the Select Hurdle. You've obviously taken on Ampere Pass, and we'll come to him in a second, but you're mount Sir Gerhard. He looked sort of on his way back to himself last time when he won over hurdles.
Yeah, look, it was a very nice opportunity for him last time in Cork. He didn't stay in Cheltenham on the soft ground, and obviously he'd won in Punchdown over hurdles before that as well. I rode him in the Grade 1 Novice Shape at Berry House last Easter, and we finished second. It was a great run. I just think he has a little... He's squeaked. It's a very competitive race, but, you know, the top two horses have got hard races in Aintree, and for me, it wouldn't be a surprise if Sir Gerhard, getting weight, would come and cause a surprise.
And the dry ground, is that what he sort of appreciates?
Yeah, look, I think at this trip, I think the ground is fine. Obviously, when he won himself over, it did need a different bit of soft ground. But I think just 3 miles on soft ground really stresses stamina in Cheltenham.
You mentioned the top two in the betting, of course, Ampere Pass and Langadan, who Ampere Pass just got the better of at Aintree. Are you under the impression that he won with a bid in hand that day?
Yeah, he seemed to get to the front quite easily and appeared to idle in front. So, you know, I don't think he had a huge amount of hand. You know, I think the two horses probably passed him after the line. I think that race would have, you know, obviously he'd had two or three hard races and got beaten before that. So I think getting back in front would have done a confidence to harm.
And of course, we can't move on from the Sandown runners without mentioning Easy Game, who's been pretty wonderful horse for all his connections. He just loves to win when he gets the right conditions. Do you think he's going to get those tomorrow?
Yeah, well, look, they've been watering in Sandown, so you know, I think that means the ground is, you know, on the good side, and that suits him well. He didn't act at all in Aintree. Not entirely sure why. But if he can get back to his best form, he has to have a huge chance. I mean, he's a horse with a fantastic win record. And we'd be hoping he definitely should be able to add to our tally and pick up some talent.
Well, racing manager Anthony Bromley joined Nick on the podcast earlier in the week to discuss the two runners for Willie Mullins in the Double Green, El Fabiolo and Ampere Pass. And he just began by weighing up El Fabiolo's chances against John Bond in the Celebration Chase.
All right. I don't know, really. I mean, let's see. I mean, it's going to be good ground. John Bond came back to form at Aintree. He joined the 2.5. Look, I mean, there's other horses in the race too. I mean, even Nubi Negra on that sort of ground, you know, if he came back to his best form, could be a danger. We've got Ampere Pass going to go Saturday as well. I'm quite excited to see him over a trip and right-handed. I know he's got a penalty for his wins, but I'm quite excited about seeing him run. I think we're all still learning about Ampere Pass, and Paul will definitely ride him slightly, even wait even longer with him, I suspect, come Saturday. But yeah, he surely was the best horse by a little bit, wasn't he, at Aintree? You felt he was, the way he put the race to bed. It was just an agonising last 100 yards, really. To get a big grade one win out of him, it just sort of felt good in many ways. Yeah, it meant it wasn't a waste of a season. He's 160 rated hurdler. Look, that's pretty good. And he'd been an exciting chaser, but he is obviously a slight enigma. But you'd rather have the talent under the bonnet than not. So,
well, John Bond's set to make a fairly quick reappearance 2 weeks on from his success at Aintree in the Melling Chase. And Nick caught up with Nicky Henderson earlier in the week to ask if he was looking forward to this weekend's challenge.
I'm a little bit concerned. I was just reading the paper this morning that he's had to start watering quite early, and it's just incredibly dry all of a sudden. Mm.
But I guess for John Bond, nice, good ground brings about the best in him.
As long as it's safe, yeah.
And it's funny because this time last year he won at Aintree, and then he really thrived going into Sandown. Has that been the case again? Is he a horse that really starts to do well at this time of year?
I mean, we are aware that we did do the two last year, so it pricked our ears to it again. And the reason, I mean, Punchdown is an option, but I'd rather not be travelling. As you know, he's a sort of horse that might be, you know, when he gets the race and everything, it gets at him, and it would be safer to stay in England, to be honest with you.
Well, a big day in Hong Kong at Sha Tin Racecourse on Sunday as they host their FWD Champions Day fixture. And there's absolutely no doubt that the star attraction is the wonderful Golden 60. Still going strong at the age of 8, he'll be hoping to land his 11th Group 1 in the Champions Mile. There are rumours around that it could be his last race, so let's see. But either way, the crowd would love him to win. And out in Hong Kong, Nick spoke to his trainer, Francis Loy, about what this special horse means to him personally.
This horse, he brings me a lot of fun, especially my stable team. He's a horse once a lifetime. You can't have another one.
Did you know right from the beginning what you had?
Yeah, of course. When I go to the sales, I pick him. I don't know he's a champion, but I like him. And also, as a young horse, they will improve as an age of 2, 3, and 4 years old. And Golden 60, he just keep improving.
Tell me about what you saw at the sales that made you buy him.
You know, he's a kind of horse, he looks athletic. And especially one memory is when he walked in the sales rings, you know, they have a, you know, they're making a noise, and, you know. And he just walked very quiet, you know.
It's a fantastic bomb-proof temperament. Tell me a little bit about last time, about his victory here in December, and why that was particularly special.
Yeah, of course. Now he's 8 years old already, you know. And you know, last time the international race, you know, we just keep him fresh, you know? And he, you know, he's he won the race, and so everybody surprised.
Because nobody was surprised that he won, but because he was getting older, everyone thought, well, can he be as good now? Can he be as good off a long layoff, which was deliberate on your part, as you were saying? It might be his best ever run. Do you think it was?
Yeah, I think so. You never know.
And now you've been forced to give him a bit of a break because he had a small injury.
Yes.
After that. How bad was it and how is he now?
Actually, it's not a serious a problem. You know, he's just a little bit inflammation. So, you know, as a good horse, we will look after him very carefully. So in between, so we just take care of him.
Is he training as well coming into this race as he was before his last race?
Yeah, of course. And in between is already 4 months time, but we give him a barrier trial and a grass gallop. Even this morning after the grass gallop, the jockey Winston Ho, we like him very much.
I don't think we can expect any more improvement from Golden 60, but we're really looking forward to seeing him run on Sunday. He means so much to the people here in Hong Kong. If he wins again, what would it mean to you?
Yeah, of course, everybody like him to win again, you know, we expect that. But the one thing is the weather.
You wouldn't want too much more rain?
Yeah, of course. According to his record, you know, he like going.
And will it be his last run?
Hard to say, you know, the December race, you know, his performance is keep everybody excited. But of course, 8 years old, next year is 9 years old, you know, we will consider.
While Golden 60 is returning from injury, so is his jockey Vincent Ho, who remarkably has partnered Golden 60 in all of his starts, and they've got an incredibly close bond. Maddy Pleyel is out in Hong Kong and caught up with Vincent Ho earlier this week and started just by asking how he was feeling coming into the weekend.
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, not an ideal year. Had two big injury in summer in Japan and then a few months ago in January in Hong Kong. But now I'm recovering very well. Strength is here, fitness is here, and riding confidently. So yeah, all set to ride the Group 1, and great to be back, you know, on Golden 60, of course, to be a good, get on good horse. It just feels better.
Fantastic, and reflecting back on December in the Hong Kong Mile,
yeah,
was spectacular,
yeah,
and it must have been one of the best days you've had on him.
Yeah.
Talk us through that race and how it felt to ride him. It must have been at his best. Do you think that was his best ever performance?
Yeah, I think it was one of his best for sure. You know, with age, 8 years old, it doesn't matter, but he performed extremely well. He was fit, and unluckily we drew 14. It was a bit tricky, but I'm glad that I got the three wide cover position, and he just traveled extremely nice with me, very comfortably, and then we kick home very strong. So it was, you know, it surprised me as well, because we didn't have any race before, prep race before, which is, you know, go straight to the international. I know he's good when fresh, but I didn't expect to perform like this too, so it just amazed me too.
And with the break that he's had, given that what he did off December when he was fresh, does that give you a bit of confidence that coming into Sunday's race he's going to be on top form?
Yeah, definitely. The trial still wasn't his best, but the trial definitely bring him on, and we'll have turf gallop this Thursday, and that's the last prep work for him. And of course, it's more ideal to have three trials, but I think, you know, it's always an easy horse to train, and he build his fitness up pretty easily, and this, you know, two trials, and we have enough time for him to recover, and we have confidence that he will perform similar again this Sunday.
And he's a special horse for you personally. You spend a lot of time with him outside of the saddle.
Yeah.
What is your relationship with him like?
I think he's like one of my family members. You know, I see him almost every day. After track work, I always go and see him, and if he needs a stretch or any massages, well, that's my job as well. So yeah, I definitely spend plenty of time with him back at the stable.
And we're anticipating that Sunday is going to be his final race. We don't yet know for sure. How are you feeling ahead of that potential sitting on him in a race for the last time?
No, I don't think about that, you know. Of course not. I just, you know, enjoy every moment with him, like usual, and to do our best in the race. And after that, it's another story. But now I'm just focusing on how to get things done.
So Dubai Honor looks to be the leading chance for Britain at Sharton on Sunday, and he was third in the QE2 Cup last year behind Romantic Warrior and Prognosis, both of whom are in the lineup once again. And Nick put a call into his trainer William Haggis earlier in the week to see if he believed that there were any reasons why he might be able to turn that form around.
I hope so, Nick. I think he's a bit fresher than he was last year. He arrived from Australia quite early in Hong Kong. A good 10 days, if not longer, before the race, which isn't ideal, I don't think. And he'd had a fairly hard campaign in Hong Kong. I think he's fresh and well, and I hope he'll run a good race. Romantic Warrior is obviously very good. Obviously, the Japanese are good, but I'm not sure that the rain is going to suit any of the local horses or the Japanese horses, funnily enough.
Yeah,
long may it continue.
Your crew were the only ones with big smiles on their faces this morning. It absolutely tanked down earlier.
Yeah. There's been lots of rain, I gather.
Yeah,
which is great.
Loads, and I think a bit more tomorrow. It's bright and sunny now, but it's going to rain again, I think, tomorrow, and quite hard.
Yeah, but it goes through the track, doesn't it? Mm. So it needs to rain on the day, really, to have any effect.
Another British-trained contender on Sunday at Sha Tin is Believing for trainer George Bowie, and he joined Nick this morning to just explain why he believes that Believing can buck the trend of European sprinters struggling over in Hong Kong.
Look, I think she's done very well from 3 to 4. I actually was showing you a video of her this week last year and how she's shit this year. So, look, it's a big challenge, I know that, but delighted to have been drawn barrier 4, and her work's been good, it's improving, and I don't think she'll ever race for a purse of 2.2 million sterling again, and it's never been done before, but I don't think it's been tried many times, and we like experimenting. Highclere are incredibly supportive of me, and just hope she runs well.
Yeah, and they're out in force as well. There was a good sized cheer went up when she drew stall 4. The barrier is crucial around 6 furlongs here, and you've got a bit of pace just to your inside as well.
Yeah, they're delighted to get where we were drawn, but also pace into and pace outside. And I sat next to Harry Bentley as the post position came out, and you know, he just said we've got options now, and we've got options. So look, she's in good shape and all systems go.
Harry clearly has been riding here for a little while now. What was the main motivating factor in going for him rather than bringing a jockey and shipping a jockey in?
It's a hard time of year to get a jockey to come over. Week before the Guineas in England, and I've known Harry a long time. He's riding very well out here. He didn't have a ride, and it just fit really well. I think he'll suit her. He's a kind, patient rider, and he's a top rider out here. Rode a double last night and couldn't be in better form.
There's no Lucky Swainess, the defending champion. Wellington won the two previous editions. There doesn't seem to be, dare I say it, a sprinter quite of that sort of calibre in this race.
Yeah, it's an interesting division at the moment, I think. And that was initially, I remember calling Harry Herbert a couple of months ago and said, you might need to sit down before I tell you this plan. But I did think it lacked a real star, you know, without Lucky Swainess. You never wish ill on anyone, but he's not there. He probably would have been an odds-on shot. California Spangle was obviously very impressive with the tailwind, got to the lead in Dubai, and they couldn't get to him. So, obviously, it's a good race. It's a Group 1. I'm certainly not knocking the race at all. There's some hardened Hong Kong Japanese sprinters, but as you say, it might just leave a bit of an opening to certainly run a bold race anyway.
Well, that's it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoy all the action over the weekend, wherever it may come from. And Nick will be back with you on Monday morning. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you by Timeform, the trusted source of racing data and analysis, by the Racehorse Owners Association, and by the Racing App in partnership with FitStairs.